In the last episode, we started to unpack perfectionism, what it is, how it plays out, and the impact it has on health, relationships, and performance. In this episode, part two, we will look at the root causes. Why does it turn out as a pattern for some people, and what are the underlying beliefs behind perfectionism? I will also give you some tips and tricks what I do to combat it, what you can do yourself, and share success stories and amazing results from one of my clients, Emma, when she challenged perfectionism and started living life more according to her own values. Find the show notes and other resources at sofiafonselsing.com/podcast. You're listening to Unleash the Badass Within by me, Sofia von Selsing, international well-being and performance coach. I help high-achieving women leaders to reduce stress, improve sleep, increase confidence, and advance their careers. Hi, ladies. If you've not yet listened to the previous episode, number 31, I highly recommend to do it. Either you pause now and listen to that one first, or after this. And I want to start by admitting that running this podcast is a constant challenge of the old perfectionist in me. There's just so much I want to cover in each episode, and I always feel that I could and should squeeze in more stuff and tweak phrasing over and over again. And at this moment of recording, I still write, edit, and produce everything myself, and it could eat up all my time if I allowed it to. So I really need to remind myself of good enough, kill my darlings, 80-20, you know the drill, I'm sure you heard all of those. But it's really a bit of an irony that wanting an episode on perfectionism to be perfect. And I want to share this with you because even if I work with supporting women leaders with exactly this, I still fall in the trap sometimes. And I think when it comes to this subject in particular, I want to do it well because it's big and complex and I know it can also trigger people. And, you know, I wanted to explain it in a way that lands well. And I'm not a perfectionist in all areas, but my work has definitely been one of them. And earlier, this has resulted in avoidance, procrastination, stress, performance anxiety, and a lot of overworking. So this is something I'm very aware of, and I work constantly on this still. But what I realize now is that I'm so much more driven by positive emotions than negative ones. So the perfectionism is kind of fading away. I think now it's more about wanting to spread knowledge. I want to support awesome women to live more joyful lives, to advance their careers, boost confidence, feel better. So now that's the driver, as opposed to what used to be fear, shame, guilt, stress, and anxiety. And that's exactly the goal here, to change the kind of gasoline behind the actions to positive emotions like inspiration, joy, creativity, love, gratitude. Because it's so easy to think that perfectionism is a good thing. This is probably what we've been telling ourselves or been told by others, that being perfectionist is good, that it leads to higher performance, better results, but it actually has been proven, like I mentioned in the last episode, that there is no positive correlation between perfectionism and high performance, exactly because of the driving force behind it being negative emotions. But when positive emotions pull you forward, there is nothing that can stop you. So in this episode, I will refer a lot to one of my previous VIP clients, Emma, who I worked with for 8 months. And I actually called her today to ask if I could tell her story. And she said, hell yes, that we need to share more stories like hers and spread the word about how incredibly common this is. So let's start by looking at the root causes for perfectionism. Usually it goes pretty deep, all the way back to childhood. If you listen to episode 20 on mental fitness, you know that we all have internal saboteurs or internal critics. And if you've not heard that episode, you can go back and get an overview of all of these saboteurs. And I will drop a link in the show notes. But these saboteurs are the root cause of all our negative emotions, like shame, fear, stress, anxiety, guilt, anger. And they usually form during early childhood as protective mechanisms. Because one of our brain's main functions is to keep us alive and safe. So we develop these saboteurs to do exactly that. And as you probably heard, I'm a coach in the framework Positive Intelligence by Dr. Shirzad Shamin, who came up with these 10 saboteurs through extensive worldwide research and factor analysis. But the saboteur mostly connected with perfectionism is the stickler. And I will drop a link to a free saboteur assessment in the show notes, where you can see which saboteurs that are impacting you the most. But the stickler is often accompanied by the hyperachiever, the pleaser, and the controller. And this is usually a recipe for disaster. And today we will look at the stickler. And Emma, my previous client, she had these four as her top saboteurs, and she was near exhaustion when we started working together. And the characteristics of the stickler is to be highly critical of self and others, and feel a strong need for self-control, self-discipline, and perfection. They might work overtime to make up for other sloppiness and laziness, and is very sensitive to criticism. And this was exactly the case for her. She was very hardworking and had insanely high expectations of herself. And when I told her about the beliefs that the stickler usually holds, she just laughed and said, "My husband, he could sign off on me having all of these." And here are some of the beliefs that the stickler usually holds. Right is right and wrong is wrong. If you can't do it perfectly, don't do it at all. I know the right way. Others often have too low standards. I need to be more organized than others to get things done. I hate mistakes. I don't know if you recognize yourself in some of these, but Emma, she definitely recognized all of them. And to look back at, like, what's the root cause? Like I mentioned, these are survival functions. And when it comes to forming this saboteur of the stickler, usually there's a fear of being judged by others. And then aiming for perfection is a way to silence that inner critic. It's like, if I do everything right, then I will be safe from criticism. And it can also have been a way of finding some order in maybe a chaotic family, or getting noticed by parents that were pretty hard to please by being the perfect child. And in the case of Emma, this was exactly the thing. She was already very organized as a child, and she constantly got confirmation that she was such a well-behaved girl who took great responsibility, she was really helpful, she took care of others. And yes, this gave her great opportunities. She did really well in school, she got great jobs, had a great career. But it was like a trait of being very organized that was taken too far, until it all became too much and she couldn't stop the train. And she wasn't really aware of how much this stickler had pushed her entire life, until she eventually became exhausted. So the stickler is one out of the 10 saboteurs, but the one that is most associated with perfectionism. And now, let's not get discouraged if you recognize yourself in some or all of this. Because, like I always say, recognizing and becoming aware is always step one. And I can tell you that getting to know these saboteurs, it's really like shining a light in those dark corners. And suddenly, they don't seem so scary. So it's like bringing your torch out and looking at, what is that voice actually saying? And where is it coming from? and what are the fears behind those beliefs. It's really about understanding what's the source of this. And if you want to dive deeper into beliefs, you can go back to episode 25, and I will drop a link in the show notes. Okay, enough about the problems. Let's talk about the solutions. So these are some of the things Emma and I did together in the program, and also the process that I usually take all of my clients through to kick perfectionism to the curb. The first thing we did was a saboteur assessment. She took the test, and then we discussed the results thoroughly. And this supported us to discover all her patterns, beliefs, and how this was impacting her and the people around her. And we worked actively with the saboteurs as a part of the program to reduce the volume of those inner critics that pushed her so hard and increase the volume of the wiser, more self-compassionate, loving, logical, innovative, and curious part of the brain. And it gets so much easier to have specific saboteurs to point to as the creator of these certain emotions and behaviors, and knowing that it's not her, it's a saboteur. And that's a big, big difference. And then the second step is to get really clear on personal values. Because when you know what's truly important to you, it's easy to make decisions and to prioritize. And when looking deep inside, chances are that it's not having the cleanest house on the block or the most flawless report at work. And Emma discovered that one of her values was presence. But she saw that perfectionism was getting in the way of being present with her loved ones, because she kept thinking about how to make everything perfect all the time. And this included like being the perfect wife, a perfect mom, colleague, daughter, friend. It was really exhausting, to say the least. And during the program, we continuously talked about this and challenged that belief. One example, when she was going to have relatives staying at her place for several days, and she was so stressed about it. We understood that those thoughts came from the unrealistic expectations on herself of being the perfect hostess, on top of taking care of two small kids and her demanding job. So she decided to invite her guests into her brain by telling them about the unrealistic expectations that she had on herself and getting them to confirm that they did definitely not have those on her. And this supported her to ask for help, to lower the bar, to focus on spending quality time together and not wasting the little energy she had on having a full-on plan and a perfect home. She also discovered that another value was sustainability. She was exhausted but wanted to get her energy back and find a more sustainable way of working and living. So with this value in mind, we made a plan for her, what she wanted her career and life to look like, to make it more sustainable for her, and how to continuously fill up her energy bucket. And this is something I've been talking about a lot before, but this awareness of knowing what drains your energy and what gives you energy. And this also supported her to see that she needed and wanted to have another role in her company. Because right now in time, it was not sustainable to continue the way she did and to have that role with two small kids and an exhaustion in the baggage. So to do that, she had really to challenge her ego, which was also a big thing, especially when the stickler is around. And some other values that she discovered she had were happiness and peace of mind, both in her private life as well as at work. And more concretely, this meant practicing letting go, kind of the opposite to perfectionism. And that could mean deciding to step over that messy kitchen, or to not make comments when colleagues did things in a way that she wouldn't have done, to let go of the need to control everything. And at first, she said this was really, really tricky. She had to make such an effort to do this. But now she says it happens more and more naturally. The third step is to challenge the fear or that limiting belief by exposure to the uncomfortable. Because like I mentioned, all limiting beliefs have fears behind them. One fear can be that you will be judged or let people down if something is not perfect. And one time, Emma was invited to speak at a very important conference abroad. She was nervous, of course, natural, but she was also afraid of letting people down if it wasn't good enough. But this presentation was important to her and very much aligned with her values of making a difference in the world. So she said yes anyway. And she also set a deadline for herself to send the presentation to the organizer well beforehand so she could not sit and perfect it up until the last minute. And she did such an awesome job there, and she was so proud of herself after for doing it, even if she was scared. Because every time you do something out of your comfort zone, you grow and your confidence grows too. And this makes me think about another client that was also constantly overworking her projects, and she could spend an extra 5 to 10 hours on a presentation just to make it top notch in her own eyes. But of course, it already was like 5-10 hours earlier. So for her, the exposure was to ask herself, what will happen if I, instead of making a full-on plan, come up with a few points to discuss during the meeting? And for her, this was a big thing, letting go of the expectation she had on herself to deliver something 120% ready, and instead inviting her team to chip in instead. This way, she could free up time to do something she valued more than spending those extra hours, which was hanging out with her husband. And I believe that many of you can relate to this, that this kind of spending way too much time on one thing leads to procrastination or avoidance of doing something else. Maybe something that's out of your comfort zone or that you fear is not going to be good enough. So I'd rather spend time on this thing in my comfort zone that I know I can do well. And this has definitely been a case for myself. I remember when I was working as an HR business partner, and I was constantly comparing myself to my younger colleagues that I thought were so much smarter than me. And I would avoid certain tasks that was actually part of my job, because I was afraid that I wasn't good enough in those. I wouldn't deliver on the same, on the same level. So instead, I put a lot of time and effort into totally different tasks that where I knew I was good and where I made a difference, but it wasn't really the things that I was measured on. So it turned out that I kind of let my manager down because I was not delivering on some of the things I was supposed to do. So this can really have a big impact on performance. So this is all about facing the fear head on and seeing what happens. Because experimenting with the uncomfortable and noticing that the world does not fall apart. And this is something that is widely used in both CBT and ACT, and I use it a lot, like this kind of behavioral experiments and testing assumptions and hypotheses is really powerful, especially when you prove the opposite to be true to what you believe. Another tool that is really handy when it comes to lower perfectionism is to practice gratitude. I would say this is kind of a treasure chest. And I often remind all my clients to practice gratitude, for example, by writing down 3 things they're grateful for every day. It can really be a game changer to give perspective and to remind yourself of everything that you do have and everything that is working, and to kind of shift that focus, that lens from everything that is not working, that you don't have, that you are not, that is not perfect, to what you do have that is working. And a fifth game changer is mindfulness. So I often guide my clients through different mindfulness practices. I invite them to start their own practice because with time, a regular practice will increase your self-awareness. And it will give you these moments to stop and reflect before you act on autopilot. And when you do that, you will become aware of which action you actually value the most, instead of this action that might be driven by fear or shame or guilt. And the increased presence that will come as a result of practicing mindfulness will also help you to direct your attention to what's happening in the moment and enjoy that instead of getting stuck in your head. And I know this is a big challenge for many women leaders that find themselves stuck in their head constantly, not feeling present in their lives, in their careers, in their relationships, in their work. And then a sixth thing you can do is to practice self-compassion. Treat yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would offer to a friend. And also to acknowledge your efforts and your progress rather than just the outcome. And for Emma, this has been to ask herself, is this something I want to do? Is this something I need to do? For who am I doing this? And what do I need right now? To really listen inwards to her own needs and wishes, to say no and set boundaries, and to prioritize herself, knowing that she has a choice. And I remember our closing session when we wrapped up the program and talked about all the tools that she now has in her toolbox. And I remember asking, what's some of the biggest takeaways that you bring with you? And she said, knowing that I can affect myself, how I feel and the energy I have, that is just not a result of outer circumstances. And she is so much happier now, more energized, more motivated at work, present as a mom and wife, and more relaxed. And it was such a joy to be part of her life. It's about time to wrap up. And if you feel like I've been talking to you or about you in this episode, I really want to send you so much love and hope, because there is a different world out there waiting for you, with less stress, less anxiety, and a lot more joy, creativity, productivity, and freedom. And if you think that perfectionism is getting in the way of you having the career and life that you're dreaming of, let's talk. I'm just one DM or email away, and I would love to support you. Right now, all my one-to-one spots are taken, but I have created a waiting list and I'm also working on other options that I would love to offer in the meantime. I'll drop my contact details in the show notes. And also, if this episode sparked something for you, share it with someone who could use a little nudge to embrace their beautifully imperfect self. Until next time, take care of yourself and go be a badass. Thanks for listening today. If you're getting value from this podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other women leaders. Remember that you are awesome.